Hi, welcome. This is episode 26 of the DNA Show. I'm Ian.
And I'm Damien.
And today we have a very special guest. We have Rachel Colasino from Rachel's Runners.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, and she is joining us today in preparation for the running clinic that we have coming up here in a little less than a month. And also, she's just an expert in the field, and we're really excited to have her talk about what she does, who she is, and how this could benefit you and running, because, you know, CrossFitters
hate running.
Well, maybe.
I hate it.
There's lots of reasons why. Rachel's seen me run, and she probably knows why I hate it. But yeah, so let's, before we get too far into that, welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be here today.
Yeah. Cool. We're very happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about your story. Like, I know your story, but I'd love to hear even more detail about it and tell our listeners who you are.
Yeah. So here's what is the most important thing about me is I love running. I love it so much.
I mean, just cracked up. Perfect start.
It's balance.
And I have always loved running. I started running competitively when I was 11, and it's the sport that has been with me through my entire life. You know, it's what I always return to, and I love so many things about it. I love that it's portable. You can take it wherever you want. I love that it's really accessible and easy. You can just open the door to your house and do it. You don't need a lot of equipment. But what happened was running was the only thing that I ever did for many, many years. And, you know, when there's only one sport, when you're single sport dimensional, how you challenge yourself is you continue to run further. And I did that. And when you add that kind of intensity on top of a possibly poor run technique, which is what I had, you get injured. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks before my first marathon in 2008, I found out I had a stress fracture in my pelvis, which is really hard to do.
Good job. Okay.
So instead of running the race that I had been training for, I ended up on crutches for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it just changed me. I mean, you guys know when you're not able to do something that you love to do, it can be devastating. So I started trying to figure out what happened. I certainly didn't figure it out right away. It took me about 4 or 5 years, but it began this quest for me of, you know, how can running be more sustainable? Because I wasn't the only one getting injured. My running friends were getting injured. I've read that up to 70 or 80% of runners can experience an injury in a year, and it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. So I got into CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that.
Yes, Ian was one of my first CrossFit coaches, and I hated it.
How long ago was that?
I started in 2012.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, I would run to CrossFit. And I would run home from CrossFit because I didn't want to admit that I liked anything other than running. But what I started finding was, you know, CrossFit, of course, teaches that there's a technique for everything. And started to dawn on me that maybe there was a technique for running. So started to think about that. And then the strength that I was able to build as part of CrossFit, like so many people who do it, changed not only my running performance, but especially my recovery. So I was running races, continued to run races, but I wasn't taking a month to recover. I was recovering in days versus months. I originally started looking into CrossFit Endurance, which doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of at the intersection of the endurance world and the CrossFit world. And decided to experiment on myself first. I ran Boston using only CrossFit Endurance principles. So my longest run was a half marathon. I only did it once. Everything I did was high intensity. I layered it on top of the CrossFit workouts that I was doing. And I had a phenomenal time for me. And I recovered. That race was on Monday. I was running by Wednesday.
Wow.
So I knew there was something. So started to look into coaching, got my certifications, both for CrossFit Endurance, and started on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
When you were training, when you had your stress fracture in your pelvis, what was your volume weekly?
So my volume was 70 miles of slow running.
Yeah.
So it was pounding my body.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had a heel strike. I definitely was landing out in front of my body, absorbing the impact. It was just miles on top of miles, and that's the only thing that I was doing.
And when you trained for your Boston, when you started doing the CrossFit endurance stuff, what was your volume then, running wise?
Running, probably 10 to 20 miles a week, depending on where I was in the training cycle.
And you felt stronger at that period?
I did, yeah. And I think what was probably most noticeable was I had run Boston in 2011 using high volume training. I had a fast time, but have you guys run? You have not run Boston. Okay.
I've ran in Boston before.
I'm very flattered that you even bothered to ask me that. Thank you.
But you've heard of Heartbreak Hill.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Heartbreak Hill is a series of hills that start at mile 18 on the course and go up into about mile 20. And so what happens after mile 20 is you start to go downhill again. And when I ran it without the benefit of CrossFit training, without the benefit of CrossFit endurance, on the downhill at mile 20 all the way through the end, every step was painful. My quads had seized up. I was just very weak. And then when I ran it in 2013, I got to that same point on the race course and I picked up my speed.
Wow.
So it was the strength definitely that I had built. It was the technique that I had practiced. And it just showed me, you know, there's definitely something here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get into this, but when you were talking about the running related injuries, do you think that's mostly because of technique, lack of strength, or improper like volume progression, or a combination of the three?
I think it was probably a combination of the first two. So definitely my technique. I know that was not great. I think too, you know, if we're training long, slow, beating our bodies up on the roads, and that's all we're doing, we're not building strength, we're not building any kind of power. So trying to access that in a race when you haven't trained for it properly is also probably going to lead to some kind of injury. I think more than anything, though, it was my technique at that volume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember you when you first started CrossFit and your physique then, right? And then post, and I remember having conversations. You were very nervous about gaining strength.
What was I thinking?
I know you were very nervous, and I hear this a lot. You know, very serious runners are really worried about building too much muscle because they think it's going to slow them down. Can you kind of elaborate on how your experience went?
Yeah. I was worried about, you know, building any kind of muscle, but you know, here's what I say to my athletes all the time, which is if we're expecting our bodies to carry us over any distance, whether it's a mile or a 5K, you know, marathon or an ultra, we have to keep our bodies in a strong position. If our bodies don't have the strength to hold up in a strong position, that's also where injuries are going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also where fatigue is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
For runners, I love CrossFit because it's a great overall strength and conditioning program. I have runners who don't do CrossFit. I have runners who do some very specific other kind of strength training where we focus a lot on like hips, hamstrings, glutes.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, any kind of pulling motion where you're having to engage your lats are going to help keep your shoulders open and externally rotated so that you're getting as much oxygen as possible. So, you know, there's a specific reason why runners need strength. Do we need to be doing calf raises? No, probably not. But overall strength is just going to benefit, you know, over the distance of any race.
More postural strength,
sure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, and you kind of mentioned it, having increased strength, either postural strength, core strength, whatever you want to call it, does that affect your breathing mechanics when you run?
For sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we talk about the position that we hold our body in when we're running, talk about keeping it under control, right? And control of our body comes from our core. And the goal for that is just keeping pelvis neutral. So once pelvis is neutral and we're securing it with our glutes and we're securing it with our abs, then everything is going to fall into place. Mm-hmm. So body is going to stay in alignment. And then shoulders especially, you know, keeping our shoulders open is going to make sure that we're getting as much oxygen as possible. Mm-hmm. Even things like the position of your skull. Mm-hmm. So when we know you're in your strongest position when your skull is right on top of your vertebrae, chin parallel to the ground, eyes looking straight ahead. That's going to make sure that you're in a position of strength, but also that you're getting as much oxygen as possible. Mm-hmm. I recently had a conversation with a speech pathologist, and she told me that if someone has a stroke and they're working with a speech pathologist to learn how to chew and swallow again, they'll actually have them tuck their chin towards their chest because that blocks off their esophagus. So if we're bringing this back to running, if we're running looking down like mm-hmm. a lot of people do when they run and they get tired, you're actually blocking off your oxygen access and mm-hmm. making it a lot more difficult to breathe.
Interesting.
What other either gait mechanics or body positions do you see most faulted, maybe in a specific to CrossFit space, because that's what we're in?
Yeah. I think, especially with CrossFitters, what I see is that CrossFitters don't like running. Possibly they hate it.
Can I explain my theory on why I think that is?
Yeah.
So when we're in a CrossFit setting, running is typically paired with something awful. So it's always like thrusters and running or overhead squats and running. It's always in between something else that sucks. CrossFitters very infrequently just go out for a leisurely run, which is what is usually a positive experience for people that don't do CrossFit, yeah. just going out for a calm run. Whenever we do it, it's under high fatigue. It's very fast. Usually your legs are killing you because you just did something else. So it's always this negative experience tied into something else that's painful.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of
I totally agree with you. And CrossFitters like just want to get through it. They just want to get the run over so they can get back to that awful thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But when I work with CrossFitters, what I tell them is you can use that run as a recovery. So if you're running really efficiently, you don't have to run fast, but if you're running really efficiently, it will allow you to bring your heart rate back down, bring your breathing back to normal. And that can be accomplished by keeping your body in a good position mm-hmm. and not working hard. And so to your original question, like what do I see in CrossFitters? Yeah. I see collapsed shoulders. I see head towards chest, eyes looking down, and I see this landing pattern out in front, not necessarily a heel strike, but where we're landing out in front and not staying aligned, which is keeping our ankles under our hips, which is what we want.
Yeah. And I mean, I know for me, I would think of, you know, you can tell in our group setting when people go out for a run and people who are really enjoy running and are pretty good at it or whatever, that's their recovery point, yeah. like talking what he's talking about. And for everyone else, it's when they're struggling. So like if you can, I would imagine if you get to that place where either you can enjoy it, your technique improves, you actually can use the running to just kind of steady your heart rate, even though obviously it's going to be increased, but it may not be spiked as if you're in the middle of doing burpees where you're kind of going up and down.
Yes, correct.
So whatnot. So hopefully that's something you can help
us with. Oh, yeah, definitely. We will definitely talk about that at the clinic because usually when I'm in a CrossFit gym, I'll try to talk to people before the clinic, and so many times people will say, like, I hate running. And that's why. So we'll talk about, you know, for some people, the run clinic helps them run faster, helps them run further or reach a goal that they've always wanted to do. For other people, it's just like it a little bit more, hate it a little bit less, and then figure out how to use it efficiently in the middle of a WOD so that you're not spending like 10 minutes at your water bottle or at the chalk bucket when you come back in.
Right. Yeah. So what is some of the benefits in learning and practicing running? Let's go into depth, like how you feel like improving your technique could help you as a CrossFitter and then also just general.
Yeah. So other than the recovery, you know, what I find and why I love the CrossFit population is CrossFitters are always hungry to learn more. They always want to achieve their next goal, which is so admirable. And I find not only will people say to me, like, I don't like running, but then I'll also have people say to me, you know what, I always wanted to run a 5K or I've always wanted to run a half marathon. And so there's that desire. And, you know, when I do these run clinics, my goal is not to make everybody perfect in 2 hours. My goal is to show you what good running feels like and what it looks like so that you can self-correct. And what I find is that a lot of CrossFitters, once they figure it out, say like, you know, I know how to do this now. I know how to use it in a WOD. I could maybe use it as a competitive advantage. I could know how to go faster. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I am going to finally, you know, go for that goal of running X, you know, half marathon or even a marathon.
Cool. What about the people who, like, have injuries? Or, like, I was thinking about when you said the neutral pelvis, like, the people who have... tend to have their lower back light up.
Is that
connected?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of times that lower back pain is going to come from people whose pelvis is tipped forward.
Right.
So they're going to absorb all the impact of their body hitting in that lower back. So, you know, that's actually when I start the clinic, I start with the pelvis because the goal for body position is keeping our body aligned. Injuries happen when we're not aligned, when our ankles get out in front of our hips. And if we're looking for control of our body, that happens from the core. Mm-hmm. So that neutral pelvis is key, but it's also something that CrossFitters hear all the time. Like, the position that we get in for running, at least from the waist up, is the same position they're in for lifting. It's the same thing. So they're familiar with it. Sometimes runners, that will be new for runners if they haven't worked out in a CrossFit gym and don't have that experience, but it always makes sense to them. What was your question originally?
Well, I guess I didn't really ask a question. I kind of went into the low back thing, but
people with injuries.
People with injuries and suggestions. I mean, I know there's like Achilles and stuff and foot issues, and but I feel like that improving technique would probably improve
that
impact, shin splints and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's for runners more so who are looking for volume when it comes to running. The technique is most helpful for them. So if you're listening and you have a run injury, you need to go to the clinic more than anybody else.
I know a few people out there.
I mean, that's why I do it. Like, in the end, that's why I do it is for runners. But things like IT band pain, hip flexor pain, ankle pain, knee pain is what I see most frequently. You know, I'll ask people in the beginning when I work with them, you know, do you have an injury? And usually it's one of those. All of those can be fixed by improving your run technique, all of them.
Cool. Yeah.
How does footwear play into it?
So
if we have a workout that's some kind of lifting component paired with running, people typically wear CrossFit shoes, so flatter surface, but also much stiffer than a running shoe would be.
Yep.
And we have people complain of running in those shoes because I don't think your foot really functions the way it should when it's in those kind of shoes. So can you talk about footwear a little bit?
Yeah. So I'm laughing because I have a lot of opinions about footwear. But so here, overall, I can teach anybody to run in any kind of shoe with the exception of one brand, which I don't want to say. There's only one brand I don't like. Here's the thing. If you're running in shoes that have a lot of cushioning or a lot of gel or air or whatever, so the goal for run technique is to be able to pull your feet off the ground as quickly as possible. So as soon as your foot hits, you're pulling it off. If your foot is cushioned, you're not able to feel that impact as well. So you either need to be more cognizant of that and really focus on pulling your feet off the ground quickly, or you need to do some drills inside in socks, which is often what I'll have people do. I was working with an athlete earlier this week who was wearing some heavily cushioned shoes, and she could not pull her feet fast enough. It just wasn't working for her, which means that she was starting to land out in front of her body, which is what we don't want because then you're not in alignment. So I brought her in the gym, took off her shoes, and she was running beautifully. So overall, that's my footwear answer. When it comes to CrossFitters, so a lot of times CrossFitters who are wearing like Nanos or Metcons, those shoes are, as you said, flat and stable and what I like to call slappy. Okay,
so they slap.
They slap, right? Because they're stiff. But we also need stability for lifting, of course. So for CrossFitters, you know, overall, you don't want to make noise when you're running, because if you're making a noise when you hit the ground, it means that you're holding tension somewhere, probably in your shin or your feet. And we want our feet to be relaxed. We want our knees to be relaxed. So that cue that, you know, if I hear myself hitting the ground, I need to relax, is not going to work if you're wearing CrossFit shoes, because no matter what you do, you're going to make a slappy sound. Mm-hmm. So for CrossFitters who are running, you know, 400 meters or less in the middle of a wad and they have some kind of heavy lift, yeah, wear your CrossFit shoes. Mm-hmm. If you have a wad where you're, you know, 800 meters or more, maybe you switch to something like a Innovate, mm-hmm. which is a little bit more flexible, but also has a flatter sole. I'm not also telling people to go out and buy a million different pairs of shoes. I think there's something to be said for learning to adapt to your situation, but especially for beginners, I would say, you know, just be aware that if your shoes are supportive for lifting, they're going to make a sound.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
Do you have a question on this?
No, okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have one that kind of ties back into something before, and I don't want you to give away your secret sauce or anything, but when you're working with a client, let's say they want to run their first half marathon, what's the blend of running and strength training that you have in their week?
Yeah, so it's going to be different for everybody, right. Of course.
Yeah.
So I have a training program that I've created. It's, it goes out to the list of people who've subscribed. And that, in my opinion, is a pretty good mixture. And what that is it's three run workouts a week. So it's one shorter interval workout. So think like 200 meters or less. Mm-hmm. It's a longer interval workout. So 400 meters up to maybe 1,000 meters. Mm-hmm. And then one longish type of run. I also have CrossFitters who are on that same program. So I don't want my CrossFitters going out and running 7 or 8 miles. They don't need it. So I will give them a, I don't know how you guys do your programming, but I'll give them like a Saturday style workout, or mm-hmm. it's a longer chipper. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a partner workout. There's always a run in between, but they're practicing running under fatigue, hopefully using that run.
Mm-hmm.
As a recovery. Ideally, I would love for all of my runners to also be doing CrossFit minimum 3 times a week, mm-hmm. just because I trust that programming. I know that it's a great overall strength and conditioning program. Does that work? No,
mm-hmm.
not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do offer also for my program that I create, it's a runner-specific strength workout.
Mm-hmm.
So for my CrossFitters who already have a gym that they're going to, I tell them to think of it as accessory work. It'll help build your runner muscles. For athletes who don't go to CrossFit, I tell them to do it 2 to 3 times a week so that they're getting the benefit of some kind of strength. Mm-hmm. And it's dumbbells and body weight stuff, but it's appropriate.
Okay. Is it 5 days total overall per the week, or...
In general, yes. With 2 rest days.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give that as a blanket to everybody.
Right.
I wouldn't give that to a beginner. I wouldn't give it to somebody who's transitioning over from a high volume program to something like what I offer. But yeah, in general, yes, I think 5 days.
Cool. I want to go back a little bit. We got really into the beef of it really quickly. Just tell a little bit more about so you talked about how you love running, but then you've done some CrossFit endurance stuff. And were you writing a book?
Okay. So I when I got into CrossFit endurance, contacted Brian McKenzie, who was then the founder of CrossFit Endurance, and let him know that I wanted to help him write a programming book, because the programming to me, how to write workouts to elicit specific results out of people based on their goal and their athlete profile, is really interesting. Like, I geek out over that stuff, and there is no programming book that exists. There is still no programming book that exists. So, yet. But what I was able to do, I got onto staff for CrossFit Endurance with Brian, and he really kind of took me under his wing and gave me a lot of really great opportunities. So Brian left CrossFit Endurance and CrossFit in general in maybe 2015, 2016, took me with him and started Power Speed Endurance, which still exists. I was a coach for Power Speed Endurance for about a year, and then I left to start my own thing, which is Rachel's Runners.
Yep.
And I should have mentioned this before, but Rachel's Runners is the name of my business. Rachel is R-A-C-H-A-E-L, There is a running coach in Australia named Rachel, E-L, and she has the same website and social media profiles as me, except her name is spelled wrong. So
if it's wrong for me. For you.
Wrong for me. So if you're looking for me and you get to a website and it doesn't look like me, just make sure you spell my name right.
With an A.
With an A,
yeah,
yes.
Extra, yeah, okay, cool.
So on your online site, you offer, like, templated programs, like, monthly programs?
Yeah, so I don't do any templates because I don't like to pre-program. I like to see how people are reacting.
Yeah.
So right now I have a subscription service. The workouts come out every week.
Mm-hmm.
I have a private Facebook group, and I get a lot of interaction back from people. So as a group, I'll look to see how people are responding to the workouts, and I keep the programming reflexive like that. That's on my website. It's $19 a month.
Nice.
This week, for example, they're doing a combination of 200-meter sprints and walking lunges times 10, but there's 50 walking lunges, and I've already gotten several complaints. But they're due for a rest week next week.
Okay.
Anyway. So they're deloading
yeah.
next week, which they knew. They're fine. They're totally fine. And I take those complaints as compliments.
Yeah,
I'm happy too.
In addition to that, do you have any other services that you offer online?
I do, yeah. So the run clinics, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, actually your clinic on November 13th will be my last for 2018.
Yes. Ooh,
going
back in time.
Time travel.
Yeah.
I do things like, I do individualized programming, and I do, video analysis for people.
Okay.
So, if people can't get to a clinic or they can't get to me in person, they'll send me a video of them running and I will look at it millisecond by millisecond and give them a set of drills to work on to fix whatever they have going
on.
Very
yeah.
cool. And you do some personal training if you get
I do.
Access to it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I'm down in Connecticut right now in the Hartford area, and I have a lot of different gyms in that area that I go in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on where people are located.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we end, I'd love to just say a little bit more about the clinic that's coming
yeah.
up. What would people expect? About how long it would be? Who's it for? Why people should attend?
Yes. Okay. Clinics are for everybody, especially if you have a running injury, because you'll find out exactly what caused the injury
yeah.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be 2 hours. It is jam-packed 2 hours. But most of the time, you're moving, but not necessarily running. So you're moving, figuring out how to move, what feels right, why we need to run in a certain way. The bulk of the clinic, obviously, I spend on run technique. There are only 3 parts of run technique. We go through all 3 in depth. It's a simple technique. It's just remembering to use it when you're tired, the
mm-hmm.
most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finish with a workout, which there's no need to be nervous about. It's only 8 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it's a combination of running, of course, and burpees, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of that workout is the burpees are going to fatigue the athletes pretty quickly, because that's why we love burpees. That's
mm-hmm.
what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll give everyone who is at the clinic a chance to practice the run technique with me laying eyes on them. So the whole workout, I'm running with everybody, giving everybody cues. So they leave the clinic knowing, okay, when I get tired, when fatigue sets in, this is what breaks down first.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I should start first.
It's awesome.
And yeah, lots of time for questions at the end too.
Fantastic. I'm very excited for it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
yeah, and I actually had a member be like, you know, I have some feedback. We go over so much technique of other stuff, but what about running? And I'm like, good. Well, come to the clinic on November 13th. Yeah, so here at Pioneer Valley CrossFit, November 13th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. We actually be closing the classes down that night. So plan on attending. It's $15 for PVCF members and $30 for outside members. Everyone is welcome. Even if you have injuries,
please.
Yes, it's something that you can work with. And I think we all could benefit from it. It's kind of a basic human function, and let's maintain it.
Yeah.
So, anything else you'd like to add?
Can we just, say where people can find you, Instagram,
yeah.
Maybe say your website again,
yes.
and we'll also copy and paste it to the link as well.
Yes. So, my website is rachelsrunners.com. R-A-C-H-A-E-L. Okay. My Instagram account, which is where I'm most active, is Rachel's_runners. And those are the best places to find me. And then on my website, I have a clinics page, mm-hmm. and that's where you can register for the clinic.
Awesome. Excellent. One more thing. If one thing that you could give someone to help them with their running, like let's say they couldn't come to the clinic, or that main nugget of information, like what would you say? What would that be?
Can I have two?
You can have two.
No.
So the lowest hanging fruit that I tell for people, the most important thing we've already talked about at length, which is keeping your body under control at your core. So squeezing your glutes and pulling your rib cage down to keep your pelvis in a neutral position. You want your pelvis in a neutral position when you're running, when you're lifting, when you're walking, when you're standing, for the rest of your life, always. And then the
Sounds easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other super important thing is the position of your head. So keeping your skull stacked right on top of your spine, eyes straight ahead, chin parallel to the ground, is going to keep you in a position of strength when you're running. And it's also going to make sure that you're getting as much oxygen as possible.
So cool.
Awesome.
This is great.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.